Welcome to Unity Fort Worth Online. We are a spiritual center of love and wisdom, affirming God's presence in our lives and reaching the larger community in ever-increasing circles of good.
Amen and amen. We're in the second part of our three-week series looking at being true in our thoughts, in our words, and in our deeds, and we're at the words part, and like Malone said, it is kind of apropos that this should be the theme for today, because words have so much power to build up or break down, don't they? You know, remember that old adage or taunt from childhood where it was said, sticks and stones may break my bones, but names or words will never hurt me. Wrong. Because those sticks and stones, of the wounds from them have been healed many, many years ago, but the words go in and make a difference. And sometimes we've never got over the hateful things that were said. And so words have tremendous power. And if you want to know how powerful words can be for good and evil, there's three words that are bandied about a lot lately. Black Lives Matter, right? And it's been used in so many different ways. I don't want to get political about it because this isn't about politics, but it's the idea that something that's supposed to be beautiful, which is to protect people and uplift people and to say that we all matter, not just the right kind of people, but all people matter, it's been twisted and used in negative ways. And this proves to me the power of words, right? Depending on how those words are used, the intent behind them. By the way, many of us today chose to wear blue because we wanted to be in solidarity with the police. Police lives matter. But we also know that black lives matter too, right? And that we are all in this together. There is no division between the two. We are one in spirit. And that's the message of unity, is that we see beyond those divisions. We see that. And I'm a firm believer. Maybe, like I said, I've said this a few times in the recent weeks, maybe I'm an old romantic idealist unity minister, I don't know. But I believe in the inherent goodness of people, yeah? And I believe that the vast majority of us want peace, and we want to go home safely every evening. We want the same things for ourselves as we want for others, that we are in this together, yes? And that is going to prevail, folks. You know, the media, of course, focuses on the aberration, and it focuses on the terror and the horror. And we, after a while, you think that that's what the world is. But we know, in reality, that is not what the world is, right? The vast majority of folks are filled with love. They want the highest and best for themselves and each other. And that is what is going to prevail in my mind. So whenever my words and my thoughts go into negative places, I remember, hey, that's just my humanness. I don't need to go there. I'm a much bigger person than that because I am of spirit. I am a spiritual being living in a spiritual universe governed by spiritual laws. And that totally overcomes any apparent hate or division in our society, yeah? And so I recorrect. And you know, if there's going to be change, it always has to come from where? It has to come from within us, doesn't it? One person at a time choosing this higher way. We can't wait for other people to do it. Though I am encouraged over the last several days since the events that have happened this week, I'm encouraged by so many people stepping forth with dignity and integrity and compassion, and many black people doing this too, which is very highly encouraging for me to see them stepping forth and being counted, you know, being seen to be bringing that message of compassion home. And I hear it from the police, I hear it in all directions, and that gives me comfort, it gives me hope for humanity. So words have power. Charles Fillmore, co-founder of Unity, he said this, he says, words are vehicles through which ideas make themselves manifest. So we had the thoughts coming through the words into activity, right? So therefore, we have to really guard our words and our self-talk, right? The words that we allow ourselves to think about ourselves. Because like I said, those words that we heard years and years ago, maybe still internalized in us, you know, that I'm not worthy, that I'm less than, that there is hate and division out there, and I'm filling my mind with this. What happens when I do that? I'm diminished, aren't I? There's less opportunity. So I have to shift from that consciousness into a consciousness of all possibility. So watch your self-talk. You know, what's showing up in any given week? So that's the homework assignment for this week, is to watch where your thoughts go and your words that you speak, you know. I asked this at 9:30. It was probably a stupid question. How many people sometimes have a potty mouth? Or worse. You know, sometimes it's okay to be that way, to let it out, let off steam. But you have to replace it with thoughts and words that are much more uplifting. Because I'm from Britain, and when I grew up, every other word was a four-letter word, basically, in certain parts of the country. And we had a very small vocabulary, so we didn't have the adjectives. So we had to fill them in with that word. You grow up and you think it's normal. You know, I was so glad to get away from it because I know it didn't mean anything to those people, maybe, but it was negative, basically. Things were going in to your consciousness, right? And we don't need that, do we? We need to look at a higher way because words are both formative and creative, right? And there's a difference, folks. All words are formative. Now, formative means they form things. Just like last week we said thoughts are things. Well, so are words. Words form something. And they can form negative formations if we're not careful. They can go out and do damage in our world. Not all words are creative. Words are creative when they're attached to the divine in us, right? When we're speaking not just from our humanness, but from our heart, from the spiritual center of who we are. Now, when we start using words that are creative, that come from the divine, there's power in those. Power to really change things, right? And they're the antidote to any negativity we might have. I'll talk more about this in a minute. But I do want us to notice our self-talk that we fill ourselves with. Do you notice any particular ways you've been thinking in the last few days? I mean, what's been coming out? A little bit of despair, okay. You know, chaos, confusion, right? And it's mirrored in our thinking. We can't think clearly. I'm overwhelmed by this. Anger as well. Frustration, anger, not knowing what to do. But hope. Okay, so hope replacing some of those emotions, yeah? Hope, why? Why? Why hope? Right.
And I spoke, and there wasn't a lot of vitriol, and it was heartfelt, loving words.
Right. And calm, calming.
Yeah.
Uniting words. Right. See, so important right now, isn't it? We don't want to up the ante. When crazy things happen, you can buy into it, you know, and start blaming one side or the other, and then our talk and our words become very fragile, brittle, hurtful. So it's important that we stay calm and collected at these times and have grace under pressure. One aspect of this I think is important is to be authentic, but also marry authenticity with compassion. Because sometimes if we're just too real, it can be hurtful. You know, if we're in a relationship, we know you can't always say exactly the authentic, cruel thing that you want to say. You've got to, you know, wrap it up with sweet compassion, right? And I don't mean that we're trying to fudge it, but I'm saying that there's ways and ways of expressing truth in any given situation. And so we have to bring some compassion into our, I think it's incredibly important to be real, to be authentic, but to do it with love. Fillmore went on, he says, words are the agency by which God reveals himself. So listen, if we're using words of division and negativity, see, we're taking God into really dark places. And God will allow us to do that because God has given us free will. But it doesn't do a lot of good for us or for God to go into those places. But if our words are sweetened by God's consciousness, by love, then the agency becomes potent. God takes us into higher places. God reveals himself in a higher way. The choice is ours, yeah? Choice is ours. We know there's been many demagogues in history who have fired up people in hateful ways. You know, Adolf Hitler is probably the classic example. And a master orator, right, could stir up whole crowds into hatred, basically, and to do despicable things. So we know that power, but ultimately it's self-destructive, isn't it? It brings upon itself hurt, and people are going to rebel against it eventually, yeah? And we could become petty demagogues in our own little world, can't we, if we're not careful? That's why we got to watch what we tweet. I won't say anything more about that, but you can go wherever you want with that one. We're sure your tweet is sweet. That's right. He says, the words are the agency by which God reveals himself. The word gives order and regularity to the movement of things and is the divine dynamism, the energy and self-revelation of God. Now, those are words at the highest level of the creative word. You know, in the beginning, what does the first chapter of John say? In the beginning, there was the word. That's the word we're talking about, right? The word that is incredibly creative, dynamic, creating the universe in good order. We have the power to do that, to replace confusion with sweet regularity. It gives order and regularity to the movement of things. Simply attaching my word, my thought, to a God thought, a God word. And there's plenty of them out there. We know them, don't we? Love, forgiveness, compassion, gratitude, faith. Calm, peace, patience. See, when we hold those thoughts and those words in our consciousness, they go forth to bless and to heal. When I hold other thoughts, they go forth to curse and to deny. And I don't want to do that. I want to shift my thinking so I'm in a place of creativity where I can make a difference that's good. Because we could say, well, I don't know what to do. Yes, you do. Yes, you do. It starts with you. The more of us that do this, the more there's change in our world. That's the only way things have ever changed, is because we decide to hold certain thoughts and beliefs about something and carry them forth in our words and in our actions, yes? Jesus was killed, denied, thrown away. They thought they'd got rid of him. The Romans didn't give him any more thought. Whoops. That's the power of a creative word, because Jesus was the embodiment of the word, yes? So, formative words, yeah, they could be tainted with our own ignorance and our own frustration, confusion, and fear. But creative words that come directly from Spirit are always potent. They transform. So here's the question. How do we make sure that our words are creative? What do we do to make sure that those words that we're speaking are creative, helpful, transformative, expansive words? Think before you speak. So much of our time is reacting, isn't it? Hold on, before we get to the next one. We react, you know? And we're living in an instant gratification society. We're in a soundbite society, so we get little bits of information and we respond to them, you know, before we start to really think. At 9:30, Beth said, filter your thoughts through your heart before you speak. And I thought that's brilliant because, you know, so often our heads say one thing, but when you filter it through your heart of love, then you may determine I don't need to be speaking those thoughts. Don't need to be articulating those words. There's something higher. So filter them through your heart. What else? What else can we do? These are great. There we go. Thank you. To move into that place of response that comes from the fact that I am a spiritual being having a human experience, not a human being having a spiritual experience, right? Get it round the right way. That's when things start working well. How can I be a spiritual being in this circumstance rather than a reactive human being? I think take conscious charge, too, of our thoughts. You know, so much that happens is unconscious, goes along with reacting. We're not even thinking about it. It just blurts out before we've taken conscious control of our thoughts. And there's power when we take conscious control. Becoming aware, paying attention, right? Is this really helpful? Is it really beneficial for me or anyone else? Song is powerful because song is words filled with emotion. And isn't that why it was so nice to hear the Burt Bacharach this morning? Good old Burt. Let's hear that for Burt. I love Unity because we have, you know, Led Zeppelin one week and we have Burt Bacharach the next week. It's great. It's great. I love it. I love it. I love it all. I love it all. You know, there's two words, I think, that are the most potent of all because they are the creative impulse of the universe, the very name of God, right? What are those two words? I am. I am. Because when God was asked over and over, please tell me what your name is, he really didn't want to give a name because he didn't want to be limited. But he said, okay, I am what I am. And the better translation is, I will be what I will be. Because it's not even that I am, because I can be anything. I have limitless possibilities, right? But I like I am because it's a great statement of affirmative truth. So when you attach I am to anything, you are beginning to cook with gas. You're beginning to have that energy, right? I am an idiot. Is that really helpful? You may enjoy it, but I don't. Now, you know, at the beginning of a sequence of thinking, it may be okay to say I'm an idiot, but you don't leave it there. I'm saying, say you really screwed up, and you say, be honest about it. There's the authenticity of it. Yeah, I'm an idiot. But you don't stay there endlessly affirming you're an idiot. You say, yeah, but I am more than an idiot. I am a beautiful child of God. I am a being of all possibility, right? So that's where we want to attach our I am to. And it's powerful because it can be very, very simple. You don't have to use a lot of words here. This is the nature of the creative word. In the beginning was the word, not the words. It wasn't a whole book. It was just one word. When God said at the beginning, let there be light, there was light. There wasn't a whole manual of how to create light and what it is. It was, let there be light. And there was. Right? That's the power of the creative word. Things could be transformed just by that power of that word spoken with authentic love, authentic compassion. A couple of examples to close up. You know, talking about Jesus, who was a master of this, yeah? In the 11th chapter of John, the book of John, Gospel of John, his friend Lazarus had died, right? And he'd been dead 4 days, it says. Lazarus was a close friend of Jesus, and so was the family of Lazarus. And so Jesus was very concerned and upset. In fact, it says in the gospel, he wept. Jesus wept when he knew that his good friend Lazarus was dead. When he came to the tomb, he didn't see death. He saw life. Now, if you take it literally, you could say, oh, well, this rarely happens. Somebody's brought back from the dead. But metaphysically, it's the truth of us at any given time. Because Jesus looked at Lazarus, 4 days dead, and said these amazing words, Lazarus, come forth. Lazarus, come forth. And Lazarus sort of woke up from his tomb-like experience of death and said, oh, okay, and came forth. With those words. Now, imagine it. You're in a tomb-like experience of confusion and despair and overwhelm. The Christ in you, the truth in you, the spiritual nature in you speaks those dynamic words. Come forth. What are you going to do? You're going to come out of your pity party, right? Come out of your limitation into the light of day, into the light of possibility. Come forth. So we say, don't we, to all people involved in all these horrendous situations, come forth out of the apparent lack and limitation. We say it to ourselves, I'm coming forth into newness of life, yeah? Into newness of possibility, amen? Come forth. come forth into something more magnificent. In another gospel, and I've shared this one many times, but it's a great one. You know, the disciples are going crazy because there's a storm. They're on a boat in the middle of the lake, and they're afraid for their lives. The Christ, meanwhile, is downstairs sleeping. So only the thought people of worry and fear are going crazy. The Christ is asleep. But eventually, when everything else runs out, all the other possibilities, they decide to wake up the Christ. Isn't this so true for us? Yeah, when everything else doesn't work, well, we'll maybe wake up spirit. Yeah, maybe I should ask God. So Christ wakes up, comes onto deck. He's not concerned. It's not his problem because he doesn't see it from the Christ level of awareness. All is well. But he notices there's some dis-ease and lack of order and simply affirms those very creative words, peace, be still. Peace, be still. And immediately, everything calmed down, right? What happened? What happened? The perception, right? We can buy into other people's perceptions, even our own perception of chaos and confusion, but the Christ is always invoking in us, peace, be still. This is the power of words, words charged with creative energy of God, right? So this week, we're going to do two things, two parts of the homework now. First one was to notice our self-talk and where our thoughts and words are going, right? But most importantly, I think, is to shift that. When we notice it, shift it into a creative place. I am capable. I am centered and poised in the Christ Spirit, right? I am helpful. I am capable of being a change agent in my world. I choose to be loving in all the interactions of my week, yeah? So that I can, instead of creating more confusion, I am saying from the consciousness within me to everyone around me and to myself included, peace, be still, come forth this week into newness of life. Amen? So we give ourselves this great gift of meditation, which is simply doing nothing, just being still. And since this is the very creative place of God, before creation, the stillness, we are participating in that amazing act of power and creativity. And we affirm that in this place of stillness that is meditation, I am the inlet and outlet of all there is in God. That I am part of God's great flow. And when my words and thoughts and deeds are in alignment with God, then that flow is tremendous. It's transformative. It blesses and heals. It lifts me up. And it makes me capable of doing remarkable things at work, at home, wherever I am. I am the inlet and outlet of all there is in God. And I know I cannot wait for others. I am the one. I am the solution. When I know this from my spirit center, I know it for everyone that you are the solution to, that we are the solution. And so as we drop down into a moment of silence, contemplate those powerful words that I am the inlet and outlet of all there is in God, and therefore I am the solution. It's an awesome responsibility, and yet it's joyous to be love in action, in thought, word, and deed. So I take the power from the circumstance. And I understand that it's here in my conscious choice to be the solution in the silence. We investigate what exactly that means for us this week. We affirm that we are grateful for that amazing God-given power within us and around us that brings forth healing and harmony, solutions, and love. May love prevail now and always. And so it is.
Thanks for listening. This ministry is funded through the generous contributions of individuals just like you. If you have found spiritual enrichment here, please visit us online at unityfortworth.org and make a donation. We sincerely thank you for your contribution, and we affirm with you, divine love through me blesses and multiplies all that I have, all that I give, and all that I receive, and I am grateful.